God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Since you're kind enough to spend time with me on this program, I think there's something you should know. I don't watch political theater. I don't consume it. I don't watch speeches of politicians. I don't go to political rallies. I have no interest because they're seductive. And because I've been around power and sat not in the seat of power, but next to it, I know how seductive it is. I've watched it seduce people. And it is not the human kind. It's not human form that you wake up corrupt, that you say, I'm going to become corrupt. It happens by measures. And eventually, one day, you look around and you go, I can't believe I am sitting here doing this in this way. I've seen it happen in Washington, D.C. That's why I don't have anything to do with these sorts of events. Now, my job here is to inform you. And in that way, I do go read speeches, I watch clips, I have a team that helps me put this stuff together, and I choose not to be exposed to it live time. I choose to do it as research. It's just something you should know. Story is a very powerful thing. It's very, very powerful. And the people who created the Trump event understand story. The convention. They understand that you could put a smaller bandage on President Trump's ear, perhaps, I'm guessing. But why not have the bigger bandage to remind people what happened? It's good story. And what just about happened is a remarkable event in American history. We're going to talk about that. They could have not had his 17-year-old granddaughter get up and say things because I knew it was going to be nice things because it's grandpa. And I bet you President Trump is a doting, kind, funny, hilarious, loving grandpa. I bet he is. His kids seem to be very loyal to him. And he may not raise a family the way I would choose with a lot of people involved and nannies, etc. But his kids have turned out well, it seems, in my eyes. So I just don't do the theater thing. That affords me an opportunity to offer what I think is, well, valuable analysis, or I would not offer it to you. That is this. During a stage show, such as we're watching, or many of us are watching, many of you, because I'm consuming it afterwards as show research, it's easy to lose track of where we are at. It didn't happen overnight that the people of Japan woke up and said, wow, the emperor is telling us he's a god. That didn't happen overnight. It happened in bits and pieces. So let's review what we saw last night. Peter Navarro stepped on stage and said, I went to prison so you don't have to. Well, that's an overreach. There's no one going to prison. There are people going to prison for speech. A guy who simply retweeted a meme that was joking that Democrats could vote for Hillary via text, Douglas Mackey, the regime that runs Joe Biden, that has him out there as figurehead, is trying to put that man in prison for a meme on Twitter. A Democrat filmmaker made her own video pretending to be a Trump supporter, telling Trump supporters they could vote for Trump via text. She never faced any charges, and she won't. There are people who walked into the Capitol on January 6th through open doors, following a crowd of people walking in through open doors, who stepped in, stayed inside the red ropes, took a selfie, said a prayer, and left, and they're in jail, or rather prison. There are people going to prison for their political views, and this regime wants more of that. The man sitting there watching people praise him, like his granddaughter, and everybody who gets on stage is going to say nice things about President Trump. That's what this theater's about. Well, except for Nikki Haley, who apparently lied, saying that President Trump wanted her to speak there. In that act of theater, that man, President Trump, has had every ounce of government, let's say, abuse thrown at him. And there he sits, right after an assassination attempt, which we'll now talk about. We are looking at where we're at, not in history, but current time. People didn't wake up one day and said, "Hey, let's go just lay waste to the Native Americans, to the First Peoples, to the Indians in America. Let's just go lay waste." That happened bits and pieces at a time. This outrage, that outrage, selective reporting. Well, the savages come and they take scalps, and so we need to, and they're not human. And the other side of the story not being told that we did the same thing. So by bits and pieces, all of a sudden, we had a program of eliminating an entire race of people and their many tribes. And there were people who woke up after they were involved in that and said, "Dear God in heaven, what did I do?" People who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. The absurdity is that President Trump in his first term was a dictator, that he seized control of the media, that he seized control of all the opposition parties, that he governed as some megalomaniacal dictator, when in fact President Trump governed as a moderate in just about every possible contraption of that word or conception of that word. So there he sits, a 36-time felon based upon a paperwork violation of internal bookkeeping records that has never been charged as anything other than a misdemeanor. And even then, we don't even know if it's ever been charged. Blown up into 36 felonies. A case by a corrupt judge. A case in Florida dismissed against him because the prosecutor has proven to be unconstitutionally appointed, illegally appointed. Everything he did was illegal. Jack Smith is appealing that. This is the time you are sitting in and watching. The day prior to this, well, no, let me do this. The figurehead Biden, who insisted that he was going to run no matter what, he was going to continue in the race, figurehead Biden has suddenly come to the realization that he's open to dropping out if a doctor says he has a condition. You mean like the doctor who has been visiting the White House, who is an expert in neurological diseases of elderly people like Parkinson's? He's a Parkinson's expert who's been there 8 or 9 times. And now there's the COVID flu that once again, the 10 time injected with mRNA, we're told, I don't believe that, but we're told that, Biden suddenly has the COVID flu again. This comes a day after a failed assassination attempt. And here's some of the things we now know about the failed assassination attempt. The manager of that township, Tom Knights, has said on video, and we'll get this for you tomorrow, that the police were aware a half an hour in advance of the shooting that that guy was on the rooftop. There was a common channel, an encrypted comms channel that all law enforcement was on. Everybody knew. A half an hour before that shooter was allowed to carry a ladder to a rally with a former president and with him his AR-15, a cop saw him using a rangefinder half an hour before he got on the roof. A rangefinder is a tool for hunters and shooters. You simply hit an object with the scope, you spotlight it, and it will tell you how far away it is. We use this for swimming workouts when we're going in swimming in big lakes. We use it for hunting. We use it for shooting. How far away can you hit this shot? Then, when that guy was on the rooftop, we now know through radio chatter that there was a half an hour before President Trump took the stage. He'd been identified as a person of interest. We have had the Secret Service boss lady pretend, and it's clearly pretending, she is clearly lying, that the reason there were no Secret Service agents or other agents on that rooftop was because it was sloped. It was an agent safety thing. That's a lie. My friend who is a Special Forces sniper and trained Special Forces snipers said they seek out sloped rooftops. The FBI or the Secret Service counter sniper team was on a rooftop that was even more sloped than that. It is important as this political theater goes on to understand the theater on the other side, the counter theater. This was allowed to occur either through blatant incompetence across the board or a decision to allow it to occur, but they would never do that. They would never do that. They, the people who set up a fake kidnapping in Michigan against Gretchen Whitmer, would never do that. They, who had informants planted in the January 6th crowd, chatting with their handlers while they're walking into the Capitol illegally, would never allow that. They would never do that. They would, and they did in those cases, and I think they did in this case. Because the day after this fails, suddenly the figurehead says he's ready to drop out of the race if a doctor says he's got a serious condition, like COVID at his age. And so now we have COVID. So President Trump's team is doing a great job of theater. I know this because I'm watching the clips circulate. I'm watching social media. I'm watching people get spun up. I have a friend and business partner who's back there. My friend Steve and his wife Kelly are back there enjoying this. They love this stuff. And there are people who do. I'm not your judge. I'm just telling you how I behave in these circumstances. But when Peter Navarro stood on stage and said, I'm back from prison. I went to prison so you don't have to. He's right. Because we can extend this. We can extend it into a regime that wants to control speech, even text messages between formerly free human beings. The decision, though, is not about a godless party versus a godly party. That's no longer the case. I'll tell you why I say that. The people who run Joe Biden are firmly, affirmatively, obviously, aggressively against God. Obviously so. The people who run the RNC are incrementally attacking God's definition of marriage, incrementally, by now removing marriage as between a man and a woman from the platform. That's attacking God's law. We are now talking about an openly, aggressively godless party and a party that just doesn't care for God's word on marriage because it's inconvenient to some big donors. I know that sounds cynical, but remember this. Our fix will not come from D.C. It will come from heaven, from God Almighty. That's just a fact. I don't watch these things because they make me afraid of being seduced. Now, I am not an easy one to seduce politically because I've been around it my whole life. And yet, it can happen. All of us can be drawn into cults of personality. It's not what you'd think. It's not saying that you can be drawn into a cult. But I can tell you this. In my life, I have found myself around bosses, for instance. I had a boss named Dan. This was back when I sold Time Life books. And Dan was as charismatic a human being as I've ever met, a salesman. And I learned so much from him in terms of how to make a sale on a telephone, which, by the way, transferred into some pretty important life skills after that in presenting and closing deals and figuring out how to redirect someone towards a close because I used to be in sales. It was like getting an MBA in sales under high-stress circumstances. And I looked up to Dan. And then one day, Dan called me and at home and said, hey, buddy, I need a favor. Can you do me a favor? Oh, he called me at work. Can you do me a favor? Sure. Hey, can you go get my suit and my shirts and stuff from my house and bring them to me? I'm at this place. Here's the address. I know it's weird. I just need some help. So I did it. And I arrived at a mental hospital. And I walked in and said, I'm here to see Dan. And, oh, yeah, he can't have those clothes. Oh. You can visit with him, but he can't have the clothes. Dan had been committed. Because he was going incrementally crazy. Because his wife came home and found him with his head in the gas oven. I never saw the signs until I stepped back and saw the signs. It was his madness that was making him great. And it was greatness at what he did making him mad. Almost like getting money for nothing. We'll come back on The Disciples View with some sounds and more from the convention. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In the last segment, I shared with you that I don't sit and watch or attend political rallies. I don't attend political speeches. I view them as show research. And let me please explain further in this. I try to keep in my mind the fact that this is a job interview. We are the ones who are hiring. I don't, when I'm hiring someone to come and work for me on my podcast, I have, you know, several team members there, I don't have them perform for me. They don't put on a show and bring their friends and families out to talk about how great they are and to entertain me with drinks and entertainment and music. I ask questions of them. We get to know each other. They ask questions of me. I encourage them to ask questions of me. We talk about lifestyle, such as mix of play and fun. Work, sometimes we have intense weeks. Like, this is an intense week. How does that fit into your lifestyle? We talk about life view. Tell me how you've developed your view of the world and morality. And yeah, I want Christians working on this team. Now, it's illegal for me to hire only Christians. So we talk about worldview, and I make it very, very clear. The program I do, the podcast I do, has God at the center of it. And I have a biblical Christian worldview. And what I've said to people who've been, you know, wanted to take a job like this is, if it makes you uncomfortable to endorse that point of view by your work, and you don't need to agree with me, but you'd be endorsing it by virtue of your work and helping to promote it, I would ask you to not take the job. Right? And it's skill-based. I mean, I'm very careful in hiring, and I don't want to discriminate. I don't. I want to be open to anybody who can come onto the team. And I want them to understand this is about spreading the only God's word. The only God is the Christian God. So in a political sense, when I'm looking at something like a convention, it's flipped. Right? It's a performance. It's theater. And yet my job here to you, I'm accountable to God Almighty, is the audience for AFR. You guys are family members, and your monthly donations make it possible for us to have conversations like this. And my responsibility to you, and in fact, the AFR network, is to do the job. Peter Navarro came out as a man who had just gotten out of federal prison for doing exactly what Merrick Garland is doing right now. Merrick Garland will not respond to a congressional subpoena giving Congress access to the interview tapes between a constitutionally appointed special prosecutor, Robert Hur, and figurehead Biden. He refuses to do that. He, like Mayorkas, well, Mayorkas has been impeached. He, Merrick Garland, refuses to participate in the process, refuses to respond to the subpoena, but he, Merrick Garland, sent Peter Navarro to prison for that. I think the people in the crowd know exactly what Peter Navarro did for them.
This is a beautiful thing. I think you folks just want to know if you can see my MAGA tattoo I got there.
In prison tattoo. that's a great line.
Yes, indeed. This morning I did walk out of a federal prison in Miami.
He is really good at this. Now, see, this is exactly why I don't watch theater, political theater. You want to know why? I'm smiling. I have the advantage of watching the video. This dude is likable. This guy is charismatic. See, this is dangerous.
Joe Biden and his Department of Injustice put me there. Tonight, I'm here with you in this beautiful city of Milwaukee. I've got a very simple message for you. If they can come for me, and if they can come for Donald Trump, be careful. They will come for you.
They have come for us. I'm familiar with a case in, I believe it's Yelm, Washington. It might be outside of Yelm, but I know the case very, very well. My friend Glenn Morgan was central to this. A man who sits on a school board in Western Washington State took his son to Washington, D.C. to attend President Trump's rally on January 6th. He never entered the Capitol, never got near the Capitol. One day, the FBI called We need to see you. There's a warrant for you. Here's what he said. Okay, I will get my lawyer. I'll drive down to the FBI office in Olympia. Be happy to be interviewed by you with my lawyer. Made that arrangement, made multiple attempts to contact them, multiple attempts to arrange this, multiple voicemail messages, multiple email messages. They never responded. One day, he was at home, and the FBI rolled heavy up to his door. Armed cars, armed trucks, SUVs, and semi-automatic rifles, and plate carriers. They kick in the door. They serve a warrant. He said to them, I see your warrants. You want my gun safe. No problem. I'll give you the combination. Here it is. Here's the combination to my gun safe. Have at. There's nothing in there that's going to incriminate me because I didn't do anything. They didn't accept that. They handcuffed him and they frog marched him in front of his neighbors. They then destroyed his gun safe. Rather than using the code, they welded it open. They destroyed a $4,000 or $5,000 gun safe. They took the belongings of the gun safe and they spread it all over the house and some of it on his lawn. They did that because they knew they had no case against him, so they made the process the punishment. The government's not going to reimburse him for his gun safe. After all, these guys were just doing their jobs. Peter Navarro continues.
If we don't control our government, their government will control us. If we don't control all three branches of our government, legislative, executive, and judicial, their government will put some of us, like me and Steve Bannon, in prison and control the rest of us.
Remember this, that during the COVID abuses, there were doctors threatened with jail time in the separate country of Washington State for disagreeing with the state on how patients should be treated. Remember this. There were human beings who did nothing other than cut hair who were stomped into the ground. There was a retired Marine in the separate country of Washington State, and he earned his living through cutting hair. He had no retirement but what was offered through the Marine Corps. He had three or four kids and some grandkids. He earned his living by cutting hair. The same government agencies that allowed buses to continue to roll, allowed people to continue to congregate in abortion facilities, allowed people to continue to congregate in strip clubs in many cases, they wouldn't allow that man to continue to cut hair. And when he said, I do not consent to having my livelihood taken, I'm going to continue to cut hair, a Democrat attorney general named Bob Ferguson said and meant and carried out, I will crush you. And they crushed him. And his business was gone. A iconic cafe south of Seattle. Iconic for 40 years. A family business on the side of I-5, location, location, location. They tried staying locked down. Then they tried to have sidewalk service. Then they tried to have outdoor service, and that was never allowed. Other places got to, but not them. That's gone. What Peter Navarro is speaking is truth, and there is more to this. Just a little bit more of Navarro.
Here's how it went. Here's how I got in prison. The legislative branch came for me first. Your favorite Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, created your favorite committee, the sham January 6th committee, which demanded that I violate executive privilege. What did I do? I refused. The J6 committee demanded that I betray Donald John Trump to save my own skin. I refused.
I'd be far more persuaded by this if he'd said, I was ordered to betray the commander-in-chief. Or, better yet, constitutional order. The separation of the branches. Separate but equal branches. I am not loyal to men beyond being loyal to men through God. Now, I don't think he was told to do anything ungodly by President Trump. He was told to do something ungodly by the January 6th committee, but let's review the committee. They destroyed exculpatory evidence, evidence that proved that President Trump was not involved in pushing an insurrection at the Capitol. Just the opposite. President Trump wanted to have security there. He wanted the National Guard there. He wanted the Capitol protected. They refused to let that happen. Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and a traitor named General Milley. And I say traitor advisedly, purposely. Any general who goes to the enemy, the Chinese Communist Party military, and says, I'll give you a heads up if the civilian commander-in-chief decides that he needs to launch an attack, that's treason, period. Period. So I don't watch political theater, but it's important for us to remember what we're watching and not watching. As Biden announces that he's ready now to step down, if a doctor says he's got a serious condition, suddenly he's got COVID, and suddenly we have the media coming out in full force, talking with one another. Axios reports that several media companies are saying we should not continue to run that image of President Trump with his fist raised after the assassination attempt. They want to bury that image because they know how effective that image is. There's some things they're going to have to work hard to bury. The attempted assassination of President Trump is the new Jack Kennedy. It is the new JFK, and it should be. It absolutely should be. The Secret Service had identified the shooter 1 hour before this all went down. This is Fox News.
Apparently, the Secret Service had identified as a character of suspicion this man, this shooter, because they saw a rangefinder on him as well as a backpack. And this all happened more than an hour before the shooting actually occurred. So they saw the guy and they identified this guy as suspicious.
There's so much more to this story, and I talked about it a little bit in the first segment, and I'll just say this. God will reveal. He absolutely will reveal all. He already knows all. He knows motives. He knows who had what motives. This has already faced justice because God says something will happen. It has happened, and he will bring justice, the only justice that matters, the eternal justice. So to the people who are conspiring behind the scenes, I beg you to understand nothing is hidden. You can have temporary societal immunity. You may even have temporary legal immunity from being in prison, but you will face account. All of us will. I can imagine some of the things the Lord will say to me on Judgment Day. I try to change those things. Sometimes the things I ought do are hard and the things I ought not do are easy. Maybe you can relate. This is The View. They have a role in society. Their role is to spread the Overton window wide open to idiocy. I'm not calling them idiots. We're not to do that, but their theories are idiocy. God says don't call people fools, so I try not to do that. Here is The View, and they know who's to blame for President Trump, the attempted assassination of him.
It was, you know, a 20-year-old lone wolf, white, whack job with easy access to a gun. And we have to have a conversation about that, because it wasn't a drag queen. It wasn't an immigrant. It wasn't a pissed off liberal woman. This is, and this keeps happening. And we need to react. Not as left or right, not as Republicans or Democrats. We need to react as Americans. All right. And we need to ask better.
Okay, I just want to add that the shooter, yes, it was a 20-year-old kitchen worker from nearby Bethel Park in Pennsylvania. According to a CNN report, a senior law enforcement official said that he bought 50 rounds of ammunition from a local gun store hours before the rally. Shouldn't that have been reported? Somebody buys a 20-year-old white guy? I mean, we've seen that many times now, young white men with guns, and nobody reported that he bought 50 rounds of ammunition?
The level of idiocy involved here is breathtaking. First of all, 50 rounds is nothing. You can shoot that in a target practice session in a couple of minutes. Secondly, it's not the race. See, this is one of the roles of The View, is to market and promote race as a weapon. That's one of their market positions. The sad fact of the matter is this, and it's going to be something I repeat because I refuse to let it go because it involves human life of young people. This is a sad fact. The number one cause of death of young black men is young black men. They hunt each other for money. Because from a Democrat party that lies about everything that is aggressively anti-God, they have been told there is no hope unless you attach your wagon to someone like Lizzie Warren or Hillary Clinton or old Joe Biden. Other than that, Whitey's got you up against the wall. You need to take what you want because it cannot be earned. It's poison. It's spiritual and material poison. Our hope is not in Washington, D.C., but our hope is in people like Peter Navarro. Now, I don't know Peter to be a godly man or otherwise. He may well be very godly. What I know is this. He refused. He was told to violate confidential status of the president, executive privilege. And he said no. And he paid a temporary cost. The cost that the people who are conspiring in these lies will pay unless they repent is not temporary, and it is not a prison in Florida. It is a prison of pure misery, and every day for eternity, well, there'll be no days, but for every moment of eternity, these people will rot in it, and I do pray they repent. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling and more. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. When the shooter at the Trump rally, the attempted assassin, now deceased, the assassin's deceased, thank God it's not President Trump, when he fired into the crowd after missing Trump, or was trying to hit Trump and fired into the crowd, he killed a retired fire chief, volunteer fire chief, a man who was simply protecting his family, dove on top of them. When Kyle Rittenhouse was had to fire his rifle in Kenosha, Wisconsin, he shot and killed two men. Joseph Rosenbaum was a convicted felon, a sex offender, level 3 sex offender, failure to maintain registered status. He had attempted assaults and batteries. He was killed by Kyle Rittenhouse, as that man, Rosenbaum, was, I think, trying to kill him. Rittenhouse. Anthony Huber was a convicted felon, assault and battery, domestic abuse, false imprisonment, illegal weapon. He was killed by Kyle Rittenhouse. And then there was Gage P. Grossenkutz, who has changed his name. Felony, probation, illegal weapon, assault with a weapon. He was neutralized when Kyle Rittenhouse shot his arm off or broke it with a rifle. They're horrible happenings. Jesus weeps over this. This is not the way it was to be. This is sin on all sides. Human sin, human power, fake power. But it's fascinating who was in attendance. Sometimes you can look around you and say, who am I drawing to myself with my behaviors? I had this discussion this past weekend with the boys, and I'll talk about that. We talked about what it is to be a Christian man, and they noticed something about me on one of the days, that I wasn't available to play or to swim or to climb walls or to go shoot arrows, archery, go to the paintball area for a couple of hours. And I'll explain how I used that moment to show them, in my eyes, what it is to be a Christian man. Alex Jones is, you know, the radio host and TV host and very talented man and right about a lot of things and was horribly, horribly wrong about Sandy Hook. Wrong and or salacious, attention-seeking, I don't know. He's been ordered to pay a $1 billion fine for having been wrong or salacious. And again, I don't know Alex's heart. I've never met Alex. But this woman is not being charged thus far with a billion-dollar offense.
I mean, it's a little weird, you know, that this is America and shooters don't miss unless they're hired to. People often flee the scene of a shooting, but these people did not. Instead, they crouched down, not enough to protect themselves, just enough so they could keep recording. And when they saw that the Cheeto puff was okay, they erupted into applause, and the Secret Service still did not rush him off a stage because there was no active threat perceived, even though it had not been declared that the shooter had been apprehended. And I'm just wondering something that I can't say out loud.
It's pretty clever to not say it out loud, by the way. That had about 16 million views and about 3 million likes last time I checked. It's, yeah, just a lady on TikTok, but it's also just an indication that in this world right now, if you say things that are helpful to the party, that's fine. If you say things that are harmful to the party or refuse to do things they try to force you to do, like with Peter Navarro, they're happy to put you in prison. I think Peter Navarro gave the speech maybe of a decade. By coming out and saying, I went to prison so you don't have to. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling that I contend make the point of the feature. Do you know that Jack Black, he has a band, and in that band is a guy named Tenacious D. I hope you can hear what Tenacious D says here.
Make a wish, Canada. Don't miss Trump next time.
Ha ha ha! Oh, that's some funny stuff. That's Johnny Carson. I always wondered if Johnny Carson was being ironic when he said that. When he'd say to comedians, "That's some funny stuff." Maybe it wasn't that funny. That wasn't, but it's edgy. It's really, really edgy. Just as I'm going through this right now, I'm just monitoring news. Always do this. The would-be assassin of President Trump hid his rifle in advance. Secret Service sources say. Yeah, not buying it. Maybe he did. He had a ladder. He had a rangefinder. And if he hid his weapon in advance, that's even worse. Want to know why? Because they go search the grounds, or they're supposed to, with bomb-sniffing dogs. Those grounds are supposed to be under surveillance days in advance. They're supposed to do a perimeter search. That doesn't make it any better. Back to the Tower Babbling. Our second clip is Joe Biden, the figurehead. Now, he said that we need to bring back, just wind back on the harmful, hurtful rhetoric. So I'm wondering if figurehead Biden could have people who he thinks work for him actually go out and figure out who is spreading all this vitriol.
I want to speak to you tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics. And to remember, or we may disagree, we are not enemies. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans quote a clear and present danger to our democracy.
Well, there's that. But then again, that's just one person. And he's, well, suffering from dementia, probably Parkinson's. So maybe he doesn't mean either of those things. Which brings me to this. Maybe he could do a little more searching, the figurehead, or the people he thinks works for him. And maybe they could find some other people who might well be spreading harmful rhetoric.
When is the time to sound the alarm? When is the time to start saying, well, does this look like Germany in 1932?
Increasingly, Donald Trump is turning this nation into Nazi Germany.
If the party nominates Hitler, you're going to vote for him? I mean, that's what I don't get.
I want to start using the word fascist.
Yeah, he's a fascist.
And the tendencies, many tendencies like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
I said it, throw me off the air.
I hate comparing Trump to Hitler because Hitler could concentrate for more than 30 seconds and had normal size human hands.
You actually draw a line from Nazi Germany to the U.S. southern border. You remember that back then, boatloads of refugees were turned back.
Let's put up Charles Lindbergh and the 1940s Nazi sympathizers. They were also called Make America First.
Why do you think he uses the term America First?
which is taken from history back when Nazi Germany was rising.
Language that he's using echoes language used in Nazi propaganda.
I'm sorry, is that straight out of Nazi Germany?
And frankly, it could be straight out of Munich circa 1928.
That is exactly why Donald Trump is compared to Hitler.
It's methodology that Trump no doubt learned from any number of authoritarian leaders over the last 90 years. Ataturk, Franco, Mussolini, Stalin, and Hitler.
This is not a reach. I could go back and talk about Nazi Germany, and I do it without any concerns whatsoever. And if people can't start drawing the parallels, well, you're just stupid, or you have your head in the sand, or you're one of them.
One of the crazy things here is, of course, remember the first time Hitler had power and he was in office for 4 years and he was very moderate? No, that never happened. President Trump was in office for 4 years when a, in my judgment, sociopathic liar named Tony Fauci came along and said, this flu is going to kill 3 to 30 million Americans. 30 million. President Trump gave Fauci the keys to the kingdom in the greatest political mistake in the history of political mistakes. But he let it go on. He did not jail his political opponents. That's what they're doing. I don't need to make the case to you. Most people can see this. But the fact of the matter is, they're wanting to back off the rhetoric because they know that they've lost the rhetoric game. Because figurehead Biden can't deliver rhetoric, not like he used to. His mind is ailing. Chuckie Schumer now demanding that he step down. Nancy Pelosi saying he can't win. And the figurehead, one day after a failed assassination attempt, is suddenly ready to step down. I'm sorry, I can't get over the timing. I'm sorry, a government that will do anything will do anything. They will. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
So over the weekend, as you know, I was up at youth camp and had to cut that a little short and come back with almost no sleep. Still kind of digging out of that hole. And I had to come back because of the assassination attempt, and that was my job, and did that. There was a day, it was Friday when I got there, and I'd gotten to know the boys a bit, and not like we became friends after, and I can't wait to see them again. I'm really actually realizing as I'm talking about this, I actually really yearned to see those boys. Man, that's cool. Well, I'm just sitting here in the studio just realizing I miss those guys. These junior high boys. Dang it. Praise God. God is so good. I only spent 4 days with them and I miss them. Praise God. On that first day, Friday, after I've gotten to know the boys, we've been to some sessions together, we'd shared a little bit and some walls came down. I updated a friend of mine on something that I'm really wrestling with. And it's an intense spiritual battle, you guys. And it is... I mean, sometime or another, God's going to resolve this. But just the other day, a new aspect of this flew open. And it just rocked me. And this is intensely personal, not something for the airwaves. One day it will be. I don't like to hide things from you. I just trust me when I tell you it would hurt people. So I was sitting on the porch with a dear friend of mine. And he and I hold each other to account. It's not uncommon for him to call me and say, hey, dude, for instance, he had an employee who was more of a partner absolutely betray him in the business. And my friend called me and said, man, I am really wanting to do on something ungodly. So we talked through this and we talked for about an hour and the Lord stepped in. The Holy Spirit reigned the conversation. We prayed together and my friend wound it back. And is now actually very happy that this guy showed himself as what he is. So that's a form of relationship that we have. The other guy who is there is a friend of mine who I met last year, co-leading boys. So we sat on the porch, first me and Kevin for about 40 minutes, and then Andy came along. And when Andy sat down, we sat there for another probably hour and 20 minutes, probably a total of 2 hours on the porch out of a 5-hour free time session for the boys. So those men were sacrificing their time with the boys. I was sacrificing mine. Those young men were being asked to sacrifice. And they kept coming up. Hey, Todd, you're going to come and do archery. guys, I promise I'm going to come. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to come and swim. Right now, I'm having this conversation with my friends. And at one point, I said to Andy, you know what? Here I am at youth camp, and you guys are ministering to me. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. This isn't why I'm here. It's not why you're here. And Andy said, how do you know? Maybe this is exactly why God placed us here, so that we could all sit and talk like this. Seems pretty important, Todd. So after these guys ministered to me and I shared with them my heart on this and my concerns, and I received their prayers and I was so thankful for that, I did go seek out the boys. We played some games. I went back into the group. But on the last day where we got together and I had to leave early, those boys knew I wasn't going to be able to spend the night because I had to go back and work, and I'd explained to them work is not the priority in life. God is the priority, and then family. And sometimes we do things because when we work, we're to work like we're working for the Lord Jesus. That's why I'm going back. It's because when we do a job, we're to do it as if we're serving the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing that's taking me back right now. But I said this to them. You guys may have noticed something. In fact, some of you did because you were asking me to come and play games. You probably saw that I spent about 2 hours on the porch here talking with two men, Andy and Kevin. You guys saw that? And they nodded. I said, I'm not going to tell you the contents of our conversation because it contains some stuff that you're not ready for at your age. It would be inappropriate for me to share. But I will tell you this. We weren't talking football. We weren't talking about hunting. We talk about those things. But we weren't. We weren't talking politics. I was sharing with them a decision with which I'm struggling. It's a mighty, mighty struggle. And I was seeking their input and asking them to hold me to account. And they did. And they challenged me spiritually. And I said, guys, you can have this relationship with one another to challenge each other. One of the boys at that point said, you know what? I have a challenge. I want to pray to Jesus for the first time in my life, but only if some of my friends will pray with me. And they did, on their knees, in total transparency. Wow. I really miss those boys. I'd like to be sitting there with them now. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides we can speak again together, may His peace wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.